Welcome, everyone, to the ESI Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for listening. We have Darren Rovell on the podcast this week to talk about the big, big explosion in the trading card world and the breaks with the boxes. And I'm a novice. He explains it. If you're not familiar with what's going on, why cards are valued so highly, how you go about getting the card sold, Darren explains it all, does a really good job with it. We also got into a little bit about Twitter possibly offering a pay service. And we talked about the Super Bowl streaker who claims he bet 50,000 and won 375, which we know is not true. So we got all that coming up with Darren Rovell. If you missed it last week, Kevin Clark from The Ringer was on. I've gotten tremendous feedback on that podcast. If you're someone who's into the process of writing, how he comes up with the ideas for NFL stories, transitioning from writing to podcasting, you should really give that a listen. And then 2 weeks ago, we had Aaron Andrews and Kyle Brann on together for Roundtable. And 3 weeks ago, Roman Reigns from the WWE was on. So give those a listen if you missed any of those, and subscribe to the podcast if you are not already a subscriber. All right. A lot of basketball cards, everything. Trading card talk with Darren Rovell here from the Action Network right now on the ESI Media Podcast. All right, joining me now, senior executive producer for the Action Network, and of course, a superstar on Twitter, Darren Rovell. Darren, how are you?
Jimmy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you for doing this. The trading card craze is out of control, and I noticed it has taken over your Twitter account. So I wanted to ask you some questions about it as someone who collected cards in high school and knows nothing about it now.
By the way, it's taken over my Twitter account because we at the Action Network see it as coverage of gambling, which right. is so interesting, right?
Well, obviously. That's the part I want to try to wrap
my brain
around.
Go ahead, I'll let you do your own before
we get to the card stuff, just a couple of things non-card related. Since you do work for the Action Network and gambling is a big part of your life, the Super Bowl streaker so I guess the story goes now that he had his friends place various bets to get up to that 50,000 total,
which I still don't believe.
I don't either.
So basically, when the original story came out, it was through an Instagram post that the streaker had met with someone previously, or someone saw him at a restaurant and he had told him he had bet. And then the streak happened. It turned out to be the guy, same guy as the photo. And then that apparently he would have made $375,000 or whatever on a $50,000 bet. So I immediately shot that down without having to call anyone. I mean, yeah. Usually the max bets on these things are $500. Anything that could be affected and is not on the field of play, I mean, they do not take a lot of money. So first of all,
I was going to say, I think 500 even sounds high.
Would be high, yeah. But because of the coin flip and some other things, and because the illegal sports books, the offshore books have actually upped their limits on these things, because now legal books have the coin flip and others. Right. So it gives you a reason to go to them. Makes sense. I think it's changed a little bit. That being said, you could not possibly get down this money. Literally, if it was a bunch of friends at $500, they'd have to place the bet at the exact same time. Because if any sports book got this type of action on a streaker, they would just pull it off. Because it just would be strange. You don't get on something that's plus 750. You don't get a bet like that. So I don't believe it. But listen, Bovada, to their credit, right? They want to take credit. So they are really vague about how they word it, right? They say, oh, you know, it's this, clearly we're not going to pay him this and that. They don't mention that the bet size is wrong because they want to get all the TMZs and everyone else to say Bovada. They actually played it right. But for me, I don't believe it for a second. I don't believe there was even a bet that got down.
Yeah, I mean, I would like, first of all, you only need to ask Bovada one question. What's the max bet on that wager of will there be a streaker? And if let's say, okay, you said 500. Let's say it's 1,000. Then he needs 50,000 people
at the same time, Jimmy.
Right,
right? Like, don't think that these guys don't have sophisticated systems, and especially on Super Bowl props. I mean, again, they'd pull it off the board.
Listen, I know in the grand scheme of things, it's not important in any way, shape, or form. I mean, there's, you know, real life going on, but man, the coverage of this irritates the hell out of me because it's not real. You can't bet $50,000 on a prop bet like that.
Well, that's also one of the reasons why, like, I went to the Action Network. Like, I'm at ESPN and I'm like, oh my God, you know, there's so much coverage of gambling and I'd like to bring some journalism to it. I mean, you know, although I think it's very funny how even large bets or weird parlays that certainly I overly cover because it gets a lot of hits. Okay. But people are like, the sports book's just telling you that. And I'm like, no, I actually do ask for the tickets. And by the way, these legal sports books are making up that someone won. Like, you think they would do that while they're getting regulated by the states? Like,
right.
So it's you know, I do my best.
Yeah. I apologize to everyone listening to this who's not from New York, because I know people get annoyed when I get New York heavy. But I mean, the fact that New York State does not have sports gambling is one of the biggest jokes I've ever seen in my life.
It just doesn't make sense, right? Like,
especially when Jersey has it, and Jersey is printing money.
Right.
Basically,
Jersey
from
basically $1 billion in December, $6 billion in 2020. At first, it was like, well, Cuomo doesn't want it because it actually, although these casinos got grandfathered in, that you'd actually, you know, be. You'd have to write something into the Constitution and make it mobile. Then it comes out, no, you don't. You just have to put the servers at the casinos. So it's like the technical thing went out the window right away. And then you have like these geo-comply people, which they're the ones who are monitoring kind of when people are checking in. They're like, X percent is at the 5-mile radius border between New York and New Jersey. So you're like, okay, here's the evidence that they are literally taking money from us. Mm-hmm. There's a Korean supermarket in Fort Lee where people just park after they come off the George Washington Bridge and then they drive back. I mean, the evidence is more than anecdotal.
Yeah. Do you think, is there an ETA on New York getting it? Is there hope it happens in 2021, or does the process take too long?
Yeah. So Cuomo mentioned it. Right. Like before, he wasn't even mentioning it or having any talks. Now you hear, because they're getting the stimulus money and because the original, I think they're now 16, 17 billion in the hole. You know, now he's mentioned it. So things can happen relatively quickly here. There are a couple skins which, you know, you can award to mobile gaming companies. It could certainly happen in 2021.
Cuomo wants to change some narratives and get some good publicity, just legalize it today. And
well, and then he goes to the lottery system, which is right. Like the reason New Jersey's thriving is because I have 23 choices on mobile, not yeah. because I have one.
Yeah.
And so that's also an issue.
Yeah. And then the last thing before we get to the cards, I mentioned Twitter at the top. I saw, I guess, last week, is it official, or are they just throwing the idea around of having a subscription?
I think they're floating it. But I, as you know, I've been a proponent of the freemium model for a long time. You know, yeah. Like the fact that, you know, I'm spending so much time on like TweetDeck and then it doesn't work on mobile. And, you know, 5 years ago I offered, hey, I'll spend $100 a month. Just help me get better here.
$100 a month is a bit extreme.
Not for me.
No, not for you. Definitely not for you.
I'm saying most people for a couple good tools would spend $1 a month.
Oh, absolutely.
And so and $1 a month when you and I did this on Medium, I figured it out. When you figure out what people would spend, and this was based on a Twitter poll, you know, it's about $5 billion a year that they could make in yeah. kind of just great products. What about companies?
Here's what I would pay for on Twitter. I would pay for a service where if you are an anonymous person, I don't know, maybe you don't have a photo, maybe your username is, you know,
God loves cheese. Yeah.
Yeah. God loves cheese. 696969 right. That you don't see any of those tweets or responses. Basically.
Oh, I like that. That's not a bad one.
That's what I would pay for. Right. Get rid of the riffraff.
Right.
All right. Let me get into this trading card boom that's going on. Now I'm going to ask you some very dumb questions here because
love it.
I know what's going on, but I'm not paying attention to it. So
I'm getting all these DMs from people being like, all these questions that you're about to ask me, I've heard them. They're valid just because you're not, more and more people are coming into it. So I'm not going to shoot it down.
Okay. Cause I'm ready to go because
go ahead.
We now have this podcast on YouTube and this will be a horrible audio experience, but we're on YouTube. So if you're watching, I was going to just say like, how much can I get for this right now? I'm holding up.
Right. So
Ken Griffey Jr. 89 upper deck.
1989 Ken Griffey Jr. card number one. Arguably, it's the most printed card of all time.
Oh, is it? Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because 1989 Upper Deck comes out with the holograms. There's rumors that was turning into cash, so the people at Upper Deck just printed sheets of those things. They used to use.
So why? But why then were they so valuable back in the day when they came out?
Because we didn't have eBay to show that everyone had one.
Okay.
It was all limited edition.
Right.
Right. And all we knew is when we went to card shows, a lot of people had them. But we thought that's because they, you know, we didn't know we were in the black hole. Anyway, if you have that in a PSA 10, it's, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
That was one of my questions because I know
PSA 1, it's worth nothing. So okay. Like people have been showing me cards and saying, how much is this card worth? And I say, well, if it's battered, you know, then it might not be worth something. I will tell you something right now. I'm going to go get something because this is worth the conversation.
All right.
So I have.
This is a podcast, but it's fine. Darren got up to.
I know it's a podcast. You know, I know it's a podcast.
But wait, I just want to ask you a quick question before you show me anything. I just want to get some baseline stuff here.
Go ahead.
Did something. Now I knew. Okay. So, and what is yours? Great. He's holding up the Ken Griffey.
Well, this is just in a PS. This is a Ken Griffey Jr. in a PSA 8.
Okay. So here's my question. This was one of my questions. What's the difference in price on a PS 10 and a PS 8?
On that one, I'd have to look it up. So the way you look things up is you go to eBay consummated prices.
To
eBay completed sales. Back in the day, we'd look in Beckett and Beckett would determine.
Right.
Now, a Tiger Woods SI for kids in an 8 out of 10 card was $940 in December. Today, it sold for $2,400. So like you are actually getting dynamic sales, but you have to look at eBay completed sales.
Right, let me ask you this. I want to rewind to the very beginning. Was there something specific that caused this current boom to happen? I know me personally, I started to notice it was getting crazy. I don't mean that in a bad way. Big from following former MLB pitcher, former Yankee Phil Hughes, who's big in this.
He is.
For a long time. That's when I thought he was doing like this one-off thing. And I was like, why is he so into cards? Didn't get it. And then more and more people started to do it. I got friends doing it now.
This is what happened.
So tell me why now.
It's very COVID specific. So when we went into COVID, okay, it was associated with the Michael Jordan documentary on ESPN.
Okay.
But when we went into COVID, people started cleaning their houses. Parents started cleaning their houses. So there were fines. People were finding things. That's one. Two, it's Groundhog Day every single day. Mm-hmm. Every day. You have to get the dopamine and the adrenaline going. You want to go back to your past. You want to go back to a time when you were happy. So we are being overly nostalgic, right? That's why it's not only cards, but people, including me, have gone into collecting graded video games because I smile when I see Mike Tyson's punch out.
So wait. So when you say, I just want to be clear. So when you say collecting video games, mm-hmm. you mean like the actual Nintendo cartridge?
I'm collecting the box, the cartridge, the manual, and it goes into a plexiglass case and it's graded just like cards. So I have the number one sealed NBA Jam in the world. It was never opened. It's a 9.8 out of 10 and it is an A++ seal, which is the quality of the seal.
I thought I'd come away from this conversation like maybe being inspired to go through my stuff, but this just all sounds like a huge pain in the ass to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But let me ask you this.
Whoever had a video game that they thought was going to be collectible, we were blowing into the cartridges. And
well, yeah, now I regret throwing out so much crap over the years.
You'd rather have played Mike Tyson's Punch-Out 50 times. A Mike Tyson's Punch-Out sealed, though, is in the $100,000.
But when you say that's what are they grading? Whether the cartridge is damaged or the like, what is graded on a video game?
So it's, you have a nice little package. Right. The company is called WADA Games.
Okay.
It grades it. So my Tyson is 8.0 out of 10.
Right.
And on the back, it then tells you what it got for the cartridge, what it got for the manual, what it got for the box. And you know, it stands up on your desk. And people think it's pretty cool.
Okay, so because I'm old, let me ask you this.
I'm older.
So. Is the old stuff worth anything, or is it new stuff that... Because I know now about...
The old stuff is worth plenty. In fact, you know, even in PSA 1s...
What about this?
That's the 1980 Ricky Henderson. I would get that graded if I were you. So,
okay, thank you.
So in a 10, the 1980 Ricky Henderson Topps Rookie sold for $180,000 this week.
Okay, so... I want to get.
Let me see your card again, Jimmy. Let me see your card again. Go up. Does it have any creases in it? I can't see.
I don't think so.
Okay. Now it is typically off-centered. You see how the white there's a on the top. There's more white than on the bottom. I think you could get that's probably a PSA 6. So then you go to eBay and you look up.
You can't give me a 7 on that.
If you get a PSA 6, Ricky Henderson. I'll get it for you. But now here's the other problem. You got to get it to PSA and it's going to cost you a lot of money. So that's a PSA 6 is listed right now at around $200.
Okay, but I want to go back. You're going way too fast. You said I should get that graded. What would be my process for getting that graded?
You go to psacard.com.
You know, you can't go to a store, an in-person place. Okay.
Right now, PSA, the number one grader, has a backlog of about 6.5 million cards. If you do the rush service, which is $50, you could probably get it back in 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. So
and then you have to post it on eBay, and that's the process.
Okay. So go to the PSA website, send them, sign up, go for the rush process, send them $50. I mail them the card.
Yes, you do.
And then
people are sending 50, 100, 500, $1 million worth of cards to them.
And then they
have a grader.
How do you get your grade? Do they email you? Do they?
They tell you when you get the grade before they send it back, the day they grade it, they tell you what it graded at.
And then they send you the card back.
Yes.
Then you put the card on eBay.
Yes.
And you can say, it was verified as a PS6.
Well, it tells on the case, it tells you what it's graded. And this is really, as eBay was coming up, it was difficult because there was nothing that went from the card show where it's like, trust me, this is a good card, to the mass selling. And trust me, no one's trusting anyone. So eBay kind of helped along the grading, which then standardized the whole business.
All right. A couple of questions on this.
Wait, hold on. There's huge variance between a 1 and a 10, right? So like someone says, I have a Michael Jordan rookie. Okay. In a 1 right now, it's $4,000. In a 10 right now, it's $650,000.
Okay. But let me, okay. So if that person has it as a 10, they put it on eBay for $650,000 and someone buys it?
They can put it on eBay for $500. And it will get, the market has said it's worth about $650,000. Yeah.
Okay, but a couple more questions. Do people buy cards that are not graded?
They do.
Like, would you like? Would you like? I showed you this Ricky. I showed you this Ricky Henderson. Would a situation ever occur where you're like, you know, Jimmy, that looks like a PS6. You know, I'll buy it from you for $100.
Dealers do that. So dealers will often say, hey, I could get my card into PSA faster because I have a bulk, but this is what you have to consider. if you put that on, if you do the whole process and a month later you get your $250, right? Because you went through it, you went to eBay, you did the holding, $250. I'll tell you right now, a dealer would say, Jimmy, that's probably a PSA 6. I'll give you 50 now.
Right.
So you're going to take for the, you're going to take it off for the raw.
You're going to take a loss for the speed of the sale and not getting it graded.
People are doing, by the way, some people find six Michael Jordan 86 Fleers and they're like, listen, this is newfound money. I had no idea I had this. I don't want to go through the hassle. I don't want to do the eBay thing. If you're going to give me $30,000 cash, $50,000 cash, just give me the cash. I'm going to forget about it. I'm not going to think about, because there is something to be said with, like, What happens if, you know, things fall quickly, right? So there's a lot of people who are taking money off the table, but you can't really sell raw on eBay, anything of real value.
Tell me a little bit about this PSA company, or like, is there a building? Is there an office where they do this? Is it all over the country? Is it one place?
It's in California. They just got sold to Mets owner Stevie Cohen and a couple other people, including Nat Turner, who's a entrepreneur and a huge collector, probably PSA's best customer, for $850 million.
Wow.
PSA company. Wow. They grade coins, they grade cards. When you send it to them, you're sending it to a FedEx warehouse, and they have their own area in this FedEx warehouse with their own security guards.
Oh my God.
It just comes through. Right now, the customer service is horrendous. They grade tickets too, and I'm a huge ticket collector, and I've been waiting for 4 months on my tickets.
So you sent them concerts or ball games?
Ball games.
All right, so you send them tickets from, let's say, a World Series game, and you're waiting 4 months to get it back from them.
Even though I paid for the rush service.
And now... So this
is the problem. The backlog is maybe 1 to 2 years on the economy. So there's an economy service, right? Like $10 a card. And that's like when you just don't care when you're getting it back. Right now, I'm told that's a year and a half to wait for your card.
You can't get any special treatment since you're Darren Rovell?
No, I actually, it's one of these things where I actually can't.
All right. Now tell me.
At the trade shows, they used to grade on the spot. And there were these huge lines and people holding stack of cards. And that once that line started at these trade shows, it would just go around.
Yeah,
like at security guards, because people would get a PSA 8 and would want a PSA 9 or 10. And people would actually go ape in front of, you know, them trying to convince them. Oh my God, I just lost $10,000 from your grading.
Yeah, but I mean, listen, I'm not a business person in any way, shape, or form. But it seems like if you put like a store in the mall where someone could grade your cards, they would be doing some big business. But
so that's the only thing they do, on-site grading at the big shows, and obviously there haven't been big shows,
right? Because of COVID.
But it for me, you know, I can't have my tickets out once they slab the ticket and call it authentic. It allows me to, it's just the ticket becomes a card essentially. So I do it for just the slabbing process.
Let me ask you a stupid question. Are you paranoid at all that maybe you're not going to get some of your stuff back that you send out?
No.
Okay.
I am paranoid, you know, so the last group of tickets I sent was worth about 30 to 50,000. And I am paranoid. I need to make sure that it gets there and they have it. Once they have it, I'm fine.
So you track it with the FedEx and all that?
Yes. FedEx only offers $2,500 in insurance on collectibles, which must change.
All right. Now tell me about this whole business with the brakes. So
basically, boxes of cards have been hard to get, and that's because
why?
That's because of bots, right? People have bots that take them up and buy them. People wait at Target and Walmart, where that used to be like an area where like kids could get them. No longer. People find out from a manager that they're coming in at X time in the line at the Targets and Walmarts, and they just
But is this for like any kind of trading cards, or are there
mostly NBA, mostly NBA Panini cards, Mosaic Prism? NBA is kind of taken over as the hot card, which is hilarious, because what's so funny about the 86 Fleer card is that, you know, we had a choice in 1986 to buy 86 baseball or 86 Fleer basketball, right? They were both 50 cents. I did not buy. I was a huge Jordan fan. I was a I was a huge NBA fan, but the NBA cards were seen as illegitimate. It was all baseball. We right. left those cards. I didn't open one pack of 86. So it's hilarious that those boxes that people return for $6 are going for $225,000 now.
Right. Is this anything? This Jordan?
Oh, that card's going nuts right now, Jimmy.
Oh, really?
That card's going nuts.
Oh, what should I do, Darren?
That card is going nuts.
What is this? I don't even
back
know.
One just
91 upper deck.
Jordan taking batting practice in the old Chicago Sea. One just sold for $3,700 in a PSA 10.
But you have to make a lot of money on this for it to be like, if you're going to keep sending out cards for $50 a pop to get graded.
Richard, Gem Mint 10, $3,200 right now. Yes, you do have to send out. Now, the other thing is you can buy. So I bought if you identify some sort of system or something that's interesting, like a card that's interesting. So my big find of COVID was the Rock card. The 1994 Bumblebee Tuna card.
Did you know that was out? Like, did you go on a mission to find
never
that
knew,
card?
Never knew it existed. Started with a search of, does The Rock have any sports cards?
Gotcha.
He was cut from the CFL. They never made CFL cards. So it was just this Miami card that came on a sheet, 20,000 of them. And I'm thinking to myself, how many could be left? Because it was 6 years before he was anything in wrestling, as you know. So and I bought a 9 for $780 and I got rid of it.
How much did you spend for it?
$780, which is still okay. Like, that's not like a throwaway amount of money.
Of course.
Something that's like, you know, for a PSA 9 and it's up on eBay right now. I put it up last night and we're up to 11,000 right now. It's going to go
paid for $780 and it's up to 11,000.
It will sell for about 25,000-30,000.
Really? And you paid $780 for it. How did you acquire it? On eBay?
I just bought it on eBay. Graded. I've bought all that these
was, so was the person who sold that to you for $780 a schmuck? Or
no, that's what it was worth at the time.
So you mean from the time, when did you buy this card then?
June 29th.
Okay, so from June to now February, the value of the card went from $780 to $11,000. Or whatever you said. What did you say?
No. The value went from so a PSA 10 on June 29th, I could have bought for $1,100, right, and one sold privately for $71,000 last night.
So it went from, but you paid $780 for yours.
Correct.
And now it's $71,000?
No, the 9 will sell for $25,000-$30,000.
So it went from, so the card
because
you have
there's only 100 of them, Jimmy. So if you want them. So PSA does.
Right, but what I'm saying is the person who sold it to you must want to jump in front of a moving bus.
I'm sure
right
they've
now.
Done some other things. I mean, you know, there's guys who cashed out on this Rock card at 12,000 at some point. Like for me, it's like, should I continue to ride the wave? Is it going to continue to go up or do I take my profits? Someone said to me last night after I was putting in the Rock card, you're going to regret it when it hits 100. And I'm like, okay, why don't you buy it then? Right. Like,
right.
When anyone says it's only going to go up, that's a horrible phrase to use.
So what was I had a question. So is
PSA,
the value,
wait, you got to hear this. PSA has population reports. Okay.
Right.
So once they grade something, they put it into the system, what they graded. So there, we know on the Rock card, there's only 20 tens and 30 nines. People base their judgment on how they want to invest in a card based on what the population is, right? So like if there's 10,000 Luka Doncic, you know, a lot of these new cards get tens all the time. Obviously, it's coming fresh out of a pack.
Right.
That's why I don't invest in modern.
Right. So, but the value of all this stuff is really just determined by what people on eBay will pay for it.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm glad you mentioned the Luka Doncic and the current stuff. I want to, because I know you got to go, and I want to just wrap it up with the what is it called? Unboxing? Is that what it's called?
Oh, breaks. The breaks.
Breaks. So
people
I'm fascinated not just by the break, but now how this has become a media thing, that people have YouTube channels with the breaks and all that.
It's gambling. It's gambling in front of your eyes. That's what they're showing you. They're showing you, like, so for example, there's a set called National Treasures. I believe a National Treasures box has 20 cards in it. you can buy a team based on what player you want to get. Zion is the most popular, so you could buy the Pelicans for $5,000. If in the 20 cards there is not a Pelicans player, you get zero.
Right. So basically, someone will buy this box, get on YouTube, whatever, Instagram, whatever it is, and start opening the box. And people will watch this person open the box, rooting for this guy or girl to get a Zion Williamson card. Right.
And then they scream and go, oh, oh my God.
And then he gets the Zion Williamson card and then he has to send it to PSA, get it graded, and then put it on eBay. That's the sort of the
process. Well, he could either get it graded or he could send it to, he'd likely sending it to the person who will then get it graded. Now there are the person who won, right? Like, cause sometimes they're having you buy into the break. So it's either this guy's breaking for himself or you can buy into the break.
Explain that to me.
Well, you buy the Pelicans or there's a company called Vintage Breaks. Okay. And they'll allow you for $100. You could get into a 1986 or $200. You can get into a 1986 set break. So they randomize the order. You pay $200 for one slot, one card. They randomize the order seven times, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. Whoever gets card number 57 just got the Jordan.
And the other people are all shut out completely.
No, there you get the Elijah Wan, the Barkley, no, the Isaiah.
But they're shut out on the Jordan.
They're shut out on the Jordan. But the guy who spent $200, and usually what they do is they guarantee what the Jordan is. So normally they'll grade the Jordan ahead of time. So one time I saw a guy spend $200 for a slot. He got the Jordan. It was a PSA 8 Jordan. And on the spot, they offered him $40,000.
Who's they?
Vintage Breaks, the breaking company, says we will buy this card for you right now for 40, which is a damn nice.
And then and the other people who spend the 200 to get in a slot, they get their card
people,
and
there's about 8 to 10 people who still make their money.
Do you do this?
Got the Barkley, huh?
Do you do this? Like, do you buy into breaks?
No, but I've done some breaks. Like I've opened for Vintage.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't want to do it with other people.
Yeah, it's exciting. But this is why I'm tasked to cover this and all the other things, because it is so connected to gambling.
And there's a lot of money involved.
Oh,
now, do you see this getting bigger and bigger? Or do you think, let's say maybe September rolls around and most of the country is vaccinated and does it die down a little bit? What do you think?
So that's the question for any investor of any business. Are we going to start to see these ghost kitchens where people are just ordering from these ghost kitchens and wings, and have our lives been changed from a year and a half of doing this? Or when we go back, are we going to totally rebel and go to bars and go out to dinner every night and go the other way? Right. There's definitely something to be said for the reason why we're on eBay so much is because we're sitting in front of our computers and we don't have human interaction. And this is our way to have interaction. Now, some people will say this is an alternative asset class for the first time, that as money gets more inflationary due to the third stimulus check, and we're just handing out money like we never have, that putting money into cards is like a sideways, or memorabilia is like a sideways way to de-risk your cash.
And anything can it be trucked up at all just to something as basic as like the popularity in cards is cyclical? Because like when I
it's never been this crazy.
Because the money's never been this crazy.
The percentage return has never been this crazy.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And having been with you at the holiday, I probably was at the same Holiday Inn East Meadow that you were.
Oh, yeah. The big show was the Nassau Coliseum. That was the Super Bowl.
The Nassau Coliseum had one. I every weekend I was at a bowling alley, a hotel lobby. I mean, it was, people were trampling each other.
There was a great show. What were those things called? Not the Elks Lodge. What is it called?
The Knights of Columbus.
Knights of Columbus. Yes. Yes.
The Knights of Columbus.
Always got good deals at the. Yeah. So for my whole life, once I got out of high school and college, and then I, became a sort of an adult, I would always think to myself, I can't believe I wasted all that money. Because there was a point where, like, these cards...
And now you wasted all that time because I didn't stop collecting, and now I'm really enjoying.
So based on the couple of things you saw here, I can make a little bit of money probably.
You can. You should probably get going.
Okay. But I got to send this all out to get graded. Okay. Someone needs to invent a graded store. I want to just go to a store and get it, like a Best Buy. Like, do it. Like, just let me walk into a store and get it graded. I'll pay. And
well, after Stevie Cohen, you know, bought some of this, imagine I'd pay for, obviously I'm a Mets fan too. So I mean, I know you're a Yankee fan, but I would pay for a Mets ticket, you know, and imagine if you could grade it at the game, that would be something else.
I threw out all my tickets. I mean, I was at that.
See, that's the tragedy. That's the next tragedy, because the next thing coming is tickets. I mean,
I was at the Mets Braves game, first game back in after 9/11,
the home run game.
Yeah,
I bought that ticket for $500, Jimmy.
I threw it right in the garbage. I'm very anti-hoarder. I try to keep
when you walked out of the game and people go, "Hey, can I have your ticket?" You're like laughing at that guy. Now that guy is the guy who's doing the snow angels in cash.
Pretty much. Yeah, I don't have a good history with the cards. Although now I'm very excited about seeing. Maybe I'll send this out to get graded. This Jordan thing.
That's looking pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just for shits and giggles, we'll see what happens. All right. Well, I appreciate this lesson, because if you're on Twitter. And you know, if you have friends who are sports fans, I mean, I know friends who are into this big now. So
yeah, like 70% of my stuff is now this. It just is. I mean, you know.
Yeah, it's funny because I had you booked yesterday, but this morning on the Howard Stern Show, they spent like a half an hour talking about this. They got a couple of guys who
get
were into
out of
it.
Here.
Yeah, swear to God, JD Harmeyer, big into the breaks.
Wow,
guy JD. So. So I was, you know, I had booked you before then because it happened this morning. I had asked you to come on yesterday. So I do feel like this is just going to get bigger and bigger here for a while, at least.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What is there one card you don't have that you want, not from a money, you know, not like the Jordan rookie, but is there something?
I mean, my investments, I'm only 5% in cards. Luckily. I collect tickets, checks, Black history and tech. Those are my and video games.
Okay.
So I'm looking for, I'm really not looking for another card. I want to go to the next level. I want to get, you know, something that people will want tomorrow, not today.
And so the tickets, I assume, are valuable because there's a limited amount. Like at that Met game, there was probably 45,000 tickets. So that's what makes it valuable.
Well, there's 45,000 tickets and then 44,800 threw them out immediately or lost them.
Right.
So yes, there's a, unlike cards where it's like this card is one out of 50. There's a that's an artificial scarcity. It's a real scarcity when you think about tickets.
Yeah.
So I have the ticket to the Notre Dame Rudy game. There's like 15 of them.
So that's why, because in my head, I'm thinking like, what else could become popular as a collectible? Or like, you know, why aren't like, you know, VCR tapes from the 80s, you know, a VCR.
They are VCR tapes from the 80s. You got to make sure they're sealed. I have about 20 in my closet right now.
So like if you had like a VCR tape of Eddie Murphy Delirious, for instance, the single greatest stand-up that's ever taken place in the history of comedy.
You know, I didn't have these. I bought these. This is Hulk Hogan's first highlight tape. It's sealed. You know, instead of buying.
But if it was open, it wouldn't be worth anything.
Correct. Instead of buying his rookie card, I decided I was going to buy the seal. I think sealed stuff. An original first of Ferris Bueller sealed.
That's unbelievable. All right.
Got to be sealed. So we'll get. I have. Sealed is the next thing, right? So like a sealed iPhone 1 is now $20,000. If you could afford that right now, I would afford that all. I would buy that all day long.
The first iPhone.
Now the problem is there's sealing fraud.
Right.
Is it a fake seal? Is it not? And there's not a grading company that's really good yet on sealing. So buyer beware.
I'm not saying this in a judgmental way, because I think if people want to do this, that's great. And it sounds fun and exciting, but
it takes over my life.
This is a screwed up world. People are just into weird things. It's just,
I don't know if it's weird. I mean, I collect weird. I mean, my check collection is just beyond weird.
What do you mean check? Like written checks?
Yeah. wrong. Let me hold on.
I don't even know if I want to get into this.
I want to see this. This is not even, this is just for you. Let me just, give me one sec. I need to.
Well, it can't be just for me. We're taping a podcast, so okay, it's for fine. Everybody.
Well, hold on one second. I'm trying to
see. I can't chef my audience.
I need to see if we have a conflict at the time. Are you available at 4:30? Okay, hold on.
Darren doing his scheduling while he
yes. Okay.
Does the SI Media podcast.
So on checks, I collect checks with stories. So what I do is this is not only a John F. Kennedy check, it's a check of him subscribing to the Washington Post 4 months before.
What's the amount? I can't see. $2?
$11.70.
So for the people who aren't watching on YouTube, he's got a check, First National Bank of New York, from John F. Kennedy Jr.
From JFK. JFK.
For $11, signing up.
Of 1959. So essentially 6 months before he became president. So
what did you
Donald
pay for
Trump
that?
Doesn't
and what
read
is it
the
worth?
New York Times, but John F. Kennedy did read the Washington Post.
What did you pay for that? And what is it worth?
I paid $7,000, and I think it's probably worth about 12 to 13.
Now, what about that? Do you have to send that to get graded?
It is indeed graded by PSA. It says that it is.
Even checks. This what I need to go research. I got to go read up on this PSA company. That's what I'm fascinated by, I think, more than anything.
So you're a Yankee fan? I will have a check right now that will blow you away.
Derek.
Ready?
Yeah.
I'll let you figure it out because you got to look at all the elements of it.
All right, hang on, because I'm blind as a bat here. Reggie Jackson. Looks like $1,140.
To who?
That I can't see.
Okay, let me read it to you. Reggie Jackson.
Yeah.
It's his earned income business account, 22 Yankee Hill, Oakland, California, 94618. Paid to the order of the New York Yankees, $1,140. He notes that 50% of these are business. Memo. World Series tickets, and he wrote this check 9 days before he became Mr. October. So, you know, that kind of thing. So I even have evidence of Larry David committing a federal crime. You know,
see, I would have liked to have heard that story way more than the Reggie Jackson to okay, Jay so, Leno. Jay so Leno.
Jay so Leno paying Larry Charles
comedy
Larry
material. I got it. Yeah.
$10 for jokes his second year as a comic. Okay.
That's
you know
cool.
Who Larry Charles is?
Yes.
You do. But yes. The audience doesn't.
My audience knows.
Okay. Larry Charles was like starving artist roommates or friends with Larry David. They worked on Fridays in the early 80s. Anyway, to Larry Charles, you turn the check on the back. Who signed it?
Larry David.
Right, which is a federal crime. You cannot endorse a check written out to someone else. So you can imagine this is a Curb episode where right. Larry's like, you owe me $10. My name's Larry. Your name's Larry. I'll go to the bank. They won't even know. I know the teller. She's dumb. She won't, you know, and they do the whole thing. And then JB Smooth is like, yeah, Larry, I've done that. And then Jeff Carlin comes in and be like, Larry, you can't do that. You can't go to a bank.
That's definitely an episode there for
sure. Yeah. So like, again, I have 100 of these. They're all crazy. I have Denzel Washington paying for his Lakers courtside seats. I have
and a stupid question. This is all bought and sold on eBay. Everything is eBay.
No, eBay auctions. You might like this. Oh. You're Marlon Brando getting paid for Guys and Dolls.
You only got $11,390.
Well, that's the week. That's in 1955, dude. Right, he was getting paid. And then my final one for you. Also a Yankee thing. So someone found out that I was collecting all these and the guy goes, do you need any Babe Ruth? And I go, yeah. So I need, this is what I need for Babe Ruth. He's either got to be paying a prostitute, drinking too much or eating too much, right? Like those are the three things that Babe Ruth does, right? Mm-hmm. So the guy came through. It's a beautiful George Herman Ruth.
$502.
It's to the park. Circle Liquor Shops, which by the way is actually the last time I was in New York City, is still on 38th and Madison. Okay.
$500 to a liquor store in that year is a hefty
It's a $14,000 liquor purchase. Now, we know that he and Wally Pipp were roommates, and they used to drink a bottle of vodka every night, you know, but man, that is a number. So anyway, yes. I got these. They're amazing. I love telling the stories. And it's not only, you know, so like I'm totally beyond, you know, cards.
Right. Well, I appreciate you giving me the card lowdown.
Look at this one.
What is that? I can't see it. I'm blind. Martin Luther King, it looks like.
Yeah, so this is a 1963 Unite. The guy was sitting next to him on a plane, and he was going from Philadelphia to Atlanta, and he had Martin Luther King sign this.
Very cool. All right. Well, I appreciate you giving me a little, I mean, I understand it a little better. I'm not thrilled with some of the information. We need a PSA store. That's my takeaway from this podcast. We need PSA stores. This mailing it away, waiting for,
you know what?
Weeks,
I think the new ownership is going to do that. I really do.
All right, well,
I think the lines there will be worse than the DMV.
I prefer that though than shipping. Although,
especially if but then you're going to hold someone's going to hold Hey, I'm holding $100,000. That'd be a hell of a place to rob too. You know, so
listen, if casinos don't get robbed, then PSA places can't get robbed. You need security. That's all. All right, Darren, thanks for educating me and I appreciate it. And
get going.
Good luck on eBay.
You got it.
All right. Take care. All right. That wraps up this edition of the SI Media podcast. Thanks for listening. My thanks to Darren Rovell for explaining the crazy, crazy world of trading cards and what's going on with it. Hopefully some of you got educated like I did. Interesting stuff, I have to say. And like Darren made a good point. If you're a gambler, you could see where it appeals to people. And I'm sure there are some gamblers listening to this. Before I let you go, just a reminder, last week on the podcast, Kevin Clark from The Ringer, he was great. 2 weeks ago, Aaron Andrews and Kyle Brandt for a roundtable. 3 weeks ago, Roman Reigns from the WWE. So if you missed any of those, check those out in the archives and subscribe to the SI Media podcast. All right. Again, thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Take care. We'll see you next week and be safe.